Welcome to Capital Conversations by the Venture Asset Management Initiative, produced by IMD, your go-to podcast to understanding the dynamics in venture capital. In this episode, we'll be exploring the rules of VC with David Clark, the CIO at VenCap. This was recorded at Slush 2024 in Helsinki, Finland. VenCap was founded in 1987 and is one of the longest established investment management and advisory firms active in the VC industry today. Since inception, VenCap has committed $2.9 billion to over 450 venture capital funds in the US, Europe, China, and India. David leads the investment team with overall responsibility for developing VenCap's investment strategy, fund identification, selection, and monitoring. He has an extensive background in both venture fund and public company investment. With decades of experience and access to unparalleled data, David explores for Capital Conversations the real story behind fund performance metrics, the cyclical nature of liquidity, and the long-term dynamics of manager selection.
I think the J-curve is something that, you know, investors may have forgotten about a little bit through 2019, 2020, 2021, but it's a typical part of what we've seen historically in the venture industry. And essentially what we mean by the J-curve is that typically you see companies fail earlier than companies be successful. And so what that tends to mean is in the first few years of a fund's life, you might see a few write-downs. You've obviously got the fees and expenses that are charged by the fund coming off, and they're impacting valuations before companies are starting to raise follow-on rounds and are able to be written up. So it's not uncommon to see over the first 2 or 3 years of a fund's life, fund performance be negative. But that has no indication on where that fund will ultimately end up. When we are looking at assessing a fund's life, it really does take 5 or 6 years to get a good sense of the quality of the portfolio that the manager has built into that fund. And, you know, we think it's almost impossible to assess a fund prior to that. It takes a long time for the best companies to mature. And even after 5 or 6 years, there's still a lot of surprises that can come through, both positive and negative. So I think for investors, as they're thinking about how do we assess funds, it does take time, unfortunately. And that's one of the downsides of venture. There is a long feedback loop within the industry. But investors shouldn't be concerned if their fund is underwater in the first couple of years. It really is about spending time with the manager and getting to know the quality of the underlying portfolio. And if you've selected the right manager, you know, over time, that quality will start to come through.
Early TVPI offers little insight into a fund's ultimate success. Historical data shows that the top 1% of companies drive over half of VC returns, and these outliers take years to emerge. LPs must focus on identifying potential standout companies within portfolios, but they must also be patient, as signal clarity comes with time.
You know, low TVPI in the first few years of a fund's life is really no indication of where that's going to end up. We did do some analysis when we were looking back over our portfolio. So we've been investing in venture for 37 years, and we've got data on something like 450 VC funds and getting on for nearly 20,000 portfolio companies. And so we looked at what's the correlation between DPI, TVPI, and IRR in year three and final fund performance. And what we saw is that, you know, even in year three and year five, those metrics are very poor predictors of where a fund is ultimately going to end up. It's not about, you know, how's my fund doing in the first few years of its life. It's really looking at, you know, what is the underlying quality of that portfolio. You know, for us, venture is all about getting access to top 1% companies, because what we found is that it's those top 1% companies that ultimately generate more than half of the total exit value that the industry generates each year. And we're talking about typically 30 or so companies a year that do that. So that's how few top 1% companies there are in the VC industry. And so as we're trying to assess a portfolio, that's the key thing that we look at. Do we think that there are any potential top 1% companies that are in this portfolio? But again, it does take time for those to emerge and to start to have that conviction. And that's one of the reasons I think why it's actually really difficult to analyze emerging managers, because you're looking at funds that really do have no data. And even if they're on fund two or fund three, their fund one may only still be 3 or 4 years old. And even then, it's still too early to separate the signal from the noise when it comes to looking at a portfolio.
VC liquidity cycles are unpredictable, with long quiet periods followed by bursts of exits. Consistent investment is key to having mature companies ready when IPO windows open. Patience is essential. forcing liquidity risks undermining potential returns.
I think one of the things we've learned from our 37 years in venture is that the asset class is cyclical. You get long periods where seemingly not a lot happens, followed by short periods of intense activity, intense liquidity coming through. And the key is to make sure that you've been investing consistently up to those short periods of intense activity. Because if you want to take advantage of the IPO window when it does open, then you have to have inventory. You have to have companies that were formed, 10 years ago that have got to a stage where they're sufficiently mature and they're generating enough revenue that they are able to go public. And today we're probably looking at, multiple hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue and a growth rate and at or near profitability before companies are in a state to go public. So that does take time. And unfortunately, there's no shortcut to that. So I think the key thing we would say for investors is to make sure that if you're going to invest in VC, do it consistently. Don't try and predict markets. Don't try and time vintages. Try and figure out who are the best managers that can access those top 1% companies on a consistent basis and back them fund after fund after fund. And if you do that, you will have inventory when that IPO window opens. Now, fingers crossed, clearly we've gone through a period where there have been very few IPOs in the US. Interestingly, that's not been true everywhere in the world. So about 10% of our portfolio is in India. And the Indian IPO market has actually been wide open for a lot of tech companies for the last 12 months or so. And even in the recent weeks, we saw one of our portfolio companies, Swiggy, went public at a valuation in excess of $10 billion. So I think one of the things we look to try and do is to make sure that we are diversified geographically so that we're not just concentrated in one particular region where if the IPO window shuts, it's shut completely. Having some geographic diversification means that different markets are on different cycles and when one market is shut, another one may be open. So I think that's one of the things that we've seen is helpful in terms of offsetting the cyclicality of venture. But ultimately, you have to be patient in venture. And I think the worst thing you can do is to try and force liquidity from your best companies.
Success in VC isn't about fund size, but accessing top 1% companies. Great managers deliver outsized returns, whether in small or large funds, by aligning fund size with achievable, transformative exits.
I think for us, it's not about, are you a small fund or a large fund? Are you an emerging manager or an established manager? It's about, are you a great manager? And great managers can make small funds work and they can make large funds work. Because ultimately, it comes back down to, venture is a power law industry. And there's only a handful of companies each year that generate the bulk of the value. And if you're invested in one of those and you're able to build a significant ownership, then you will be successful almost regardless of fund size. Now, there is probably an upper limit. And one of the things we look at is around, when we look at early stage funds that have delivered a 3x net return back to us, one of the things we found is that over 90% of them have had at least one company that returns the entire fund. So that's telling us that, you really need to have a single company that dramatically moves the needle at the fund level if you want to be a successful fund. And so how we think about that in relation to fund size is, if you raise a $1 billion fund, then you have to have a single company that's capable of returning $1 billion back to you. Now, we've seen that happen, multiple times across our portfolio. I think there's something like close to 50 instances of a single company returning $1 billion back to a fund and being a fund returner. So this idea that you can't get a $1 billion outcome from a single investment in a fund is clearly wrong. We've seen it multiple times. But you then have to think about, what's the ultimate size of exit that I need to have given my typical ownership in these companies and given my fund size? And they have to be in balance. And if they're not, that's when we think the equation doesn't work. And also, I think it's very specific to managers. So we've got one manager that has returned $1 billion from a single investment, multiple times. And so we'd be willing to underwrite the probability of them doing that in the future at a much higher level than perhaps some other managers where their best outcomes have maybe been $500 million. So I think you have to be very specific in terms of what you're actually looking at here. But ultimately, it really does come down to how consistently are you able to access those top 1% companies. And if you do that, then you're going to perform strongly, whether you're a small manager, a large manager, emerging or established.
Spotting winners among emerging VC managers is nearly impossible due to limited data and the luck often tied to early success. LPs should prioritize gaining access to established managers with a proven track record of consistently landing top 1% companies and delivering transformative returns.
For us, the single most important factor in venture capital is getting access to these handful of key companies that ultimately generate the bulk of the returns. And there's no single strategy or single focus or single approach that is a clear indicator of a manager's ability to do that. What we've actually found, and there's some academic research that backs this up, is that the first time you access a really successful company, it can be based on a lot of luck, being in the right place at the right time. But what the best managers are then able to do is to leverage that and start to improve the quality of their deal flow. It means they're more competitive. They can get access to the very best founders. They build a halo effect around their brand. And founders actually then want to seek that brand out because it has real value on being on their cap table. So, you know, for us, I think it's really difficult to try and identify which manager at a fund one or fund two is going to be successful. I looked at the PitchBook data, and between 2010 and 2019, PitchBook said there were about 14,500 to 15,000 VC funds that raised globally. Nearly 12,000 of those were sub $100 million and are probably fund one, fund twos. And so, you know, trying to find that needle in the haystack where you're looking at 10,000 or more funds, I think as an LP is an almost impossible task. And you flip that on the other side, which is, you know, I can tell you, and I think most people will be able to tell you, of the established managers who were the most successful. So it's not about identifying the established managers. It becomes much more about how do we access the established managers. And our preference is not to try and play the identification game with emerging managers because we don't think it's possible.
Small funds can add value, but should complement a core portfolio of established managers. LPs might want to limit niche investments to 20 to 25% to target specialized opportunities while maintaining stability.
I think part of this comes down to portfolio construction for us. And I do think there's a place for smaller, more specialist managers as a smaller part of the portfolio. But I think, you know, the way that we would look to construct our portfolio is we want to have, you know, around three quarters of our portfolio invested in our established managers, what we would call our core managers. And that delivers a consistent, strong performance back to our investors. And then that allows us to perhaps take a little bit more risk with the other kind of 20 up to 25% of the portfolio. So for example, you know, we invested in a specialist crypto manager a few years ago because that was an area that we felt there were structural reasons why the best generalist managers might struggle to capture the value coming out of the crypto industry. Partly because they would have to be registered with the SEC as a registered investment advisor, which a lot of them weren't willing to do. And partly because the value add, the deal sourcing, the whole network you have to build up is very different in that space than other traditional industries. So I do think there's an opportunity to add a small number of specialist managers into a portfolio, particularly if you have an interest in a particular area or you have really strong conviction on a particular area. But that shouldn't be at the expense of building a really solid foundation for the bulk of your portfolio.
In a downturn, LPs should focus on investing consistently with top managers who back exceptional companies. Long-term commitment to proven managers delivers reliable performance across cycles.
For us, at the risk of being boring and repeating myself, we try and make venture as simple as we can, which is get exposure to the best companies by investing in the best managers. Do that consistently. Don't stray away too far from doing that. And if you're able to put that into practice, you know, vintage after vintage after vintage, you then get a portfolio that compounds its advantages and delivers strong long-term performance. And what's more, consistent long-term performance as well. We've been implementing this strategy for about the last 15 years, and about 90% of the capital we've invested over the last decade has gone to just a dozen managers or so. And when we look at the funds that we've backed from those managers that are reasonably mature, so, you know, at least sort of 5 years old, you know, what we found is that there's only sort of 2 or 3% of them that actually are underwater now. And that's going back over the last 30 years. So it's through the financial crisis, through the dot-com boom and bust. So I think what you're able to see from the best managers is that real sort of consistency in performance. And I think we would just really, really try and recommend to investors, don't try and overthink what you're doing here. You know, at its heart, venture's very simple. Find the best managers who invest in the best companies and double down on them consistently.
LPs should recalibrate return expectations, as median VC performance often falls short of lofty promises like 5x funds. Focus instead on achieving upper quartile returns by consistently backing top managers who find outliers. Even in weak vintages like 2021 to 2022, exceptional funds can thrive with the right managers investing in standout companies.
So I think LPs need to be realistic in terms of what they can expect from their venture portfolio. If you look at median VC returns over the long term, they're not great. Median VC returns are like a 1.7x and a 10% IRR. It's only when you get up to the upper quartile boundaries that you start to get the kind of mid to high teens and the 2.5x sort of multiples that, you know, you probably want from venture to justify the risk in the illiquidity versus, say, something like private equity. A lot of newer investors to venture are probably blindsided a little bit by the promises that some managers make to them. You know, we've had managers come into us and say, you know, we're expecting to do a 5x fund. And there are very few 5x funds in venture. You know, again, when we look at the underlying data, it's around 5% of funds that are able to deliver a 5x net return back to investors. So I think you have to calibrate your return expectations appropriately. And then think about, you know, how can I implement a strategy that gets me consistently at or around that sort of upper quartile benchmark? Because ultimately, that's what you need to do. In terms of the performance of the 2021, kind of 2022 vintages, a lot of those funds are still going to be in their investment periods. And as I said earlier, you know, the correlation between TVPI in year three and final DPI is really low. So, you know, I don't think that investors should be reading too much into what's been happening into those vintages. One of the things that, you know, we have seen as well is that venture returns generally are inversely correlated to fundraising. So the more capital that is raised by VC funds and deployed in a vintage year, generally the poorer performance is for the industry as a whole. But again, venture's not about average returns. Venture's about outliers. And even in a disappointing vintage, you can still get outstanding fund performances if you choose your managers correctly and they're able to back the very best companies. You know, we were fortunate enough to be in a fund that was one of the early investors in Google, which delivered an unbelievable outcome despite being raised in one of the very worst vintages ever in venture capital.
LPs shouldn't overreact to shifts like slower seed to Series A graduations. Venture requires patience and consistency. Instead, LPs should focus on building a future-proof portfolio aligned with long-term value creation.
Venture is a really long-term asset class. It takes the best companies 10 to 12 years to go from being founded to going public. You know, the typical venture fund now lasts twice as long as the average US marriage. You're in this for the long term. That's why certainly we take our time in deciding to invest in a manager, because it's a really long-term relationship. And we want to make sure that we make the right decisions and we're not just jumping in based on something that's happening in the moment. Because things change as well so quickly in venture. Who knows what the AI sector is going to look like in 2 years' time? And so I think, you know, rather than LPs trying to try and, you know, react to what they're seeing in the market, you can do that with public companies. That's fine because you can get in and out there. But in venture, it's almost impossible to kind of change those strategies on the fly. And what you probably end up doing is you end up responding to the last cycle, not the next cycle. So you build a portfolio that worked for the previous generation of tech companies, and you're not sort of future-proofing what you're doing. So I think, you know, for us, the best advice is just keep it simple, back the best managers and get access to those best companies.
As we wrap up this conversation with David Clark, three key takeaways emerge. The first is that consistency wins. LPs should avoid overreacting to short-term metrics or market conditions and build their success on long-term relationships and the consistent support of top-tier managers. The second is that patience is essential. Venture capital's extended timelines mean that the true value of funds often only emerges over a decade or more. The third point is that LPs must focus on outliers. Returns are driven by a handful of top-performing companies, making access to elite managers and their portfolios critical for outsized gains. LPs must balance managing too many or too few relationships with venture managers. While diversification can reduce risk, it may dilute focus and support. while a limited number of relationships can miss out on diverse opportunities. Given the long feedback loop in venture, where results can take years to materialize, LPs need to stay focused but adaptable, ensuring they can monitor and adjust their portfolios without extending themselves. You've been listening to Capital Conversations. To learn more about IMD and its courses, go to imd.org. We'll see you next time.